Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
Welcome back to another edition of Through the Smoke, a Miami Hurricanes football and recruiting podcast here on the 24/7 Sports Network. David Lake joined, as always, by Gabby Urrutia. The transfer portal has been open for about a week, and we are here to talk about it from a Miami Hurricanes perspective, kind of reviewing week number one and sharing and discussing some of the key names to know, again, from a Miami perspective. So it should be a fun, relatively quick podcast here, just kind of passing along the names and how they might fit at Miami potentially. Before we jump into things here, though, of course, want to highlight one of our title sponsors here, the Canes Connection. Again, this is an important time with the transfer portal being open. Canes Connection plays a big role in Miami's success in talent acquisition. They are Miami's collective. Highly organized. Those guys do a great job over there. And I would highly recommend a membership over at canesconnection.com. Again, if you listen to this podcast, you know by now, you can get 20% off your first month's membership at canesconnection.com with the promo code 247. So 20% off, memberships start at $25 a month, and then it tiers up from there up to $1,000 a month. So I want to highlight those guys, canesconnection.com. Go support what they do. If you listen to this podcast, you care a lot about Miami Hurricanes football. I would also direct you to Canes Connection because they highly impact Miami's success on the field. Okay, Gabby, let's jump into the NCAA transfer portal targets from a Miami perspective. And let's start at running back, which kind of emerged as a key position of need for the Hurricanes here during the month of spring football. Of course, Henry Parrish decided to enter the transfer portal following the first week of spring. He's going to explore his options. Mark Fletcher, Miami's freshman running back last year, sustained a foot injury in the bowl game against Rutgers. He was held out of spring and, you know, fingers crossed he's good to go for the start of fall camp. But again, feet injuries are tricky and you just never know how those are going to play out in terms of timetables. So Miami is being proactive, going out, trying to get a proven commodity at running back. And Gabby, I don't think he had entered yet officially the last time he recorded, but a big-time running back in terms of production entered in Oregon State's Damian Martinez. I believe he entered last Tuesday or Wednesday. Martinez goes 6 feet, 230 pounds. He has been the focal point of the Oregon State offense the past two seasons. He's totaled over 2,100 rushing yards, 16 touchdowns. He's averaged 6.1 yards per carry in each of the last two seasons. Last season specifically, ran for 1,185 yards and 9 touchdowns. Again, averaging 6.1 yards per carry. So he appears to be, at this stage, Gabby, the best option at running back in the transfer portal. And I think it's fair to say things are trending in a very nice way for the Hurricanes in terms of landing Martinez. What do you know about this situation?
Yeah, David, like I do think Miami's in a really good spot. You know, I think at the beginning of the transfer portal process, a couple of trips got set up. I believe it was four to start, or maybe potentially five to start. It was Arizona, Mississippi State, Kentucky, Tennessee, and then it was going to be finished off at Miami. You know, a lot has changed since, you know, that original schedule was set. And even before he started taking those trips, you know, running backs coach Matt Merritt made the trip out to Dallas, kind of got out ahead of those visits to meet with Damian Martinez and his family and really his mom, you know, out in Dallas. So before the trips even started, Miami got some face time there. Of course, like you mentioned, David, one of the top targets for the Hurricanes in this transfer process, went back to get Damian Martinez went back, started his visits, went to Arizona. That went well. After Arizona, went to Mississippi State, and just over the course of the process, canceled visits to Tennessee, and then more recently here on Monday, canceled that trip to Kentucky. So right now it seems like it's Arizona, it's Mississippi State, and it's Miami battling it out for, you know, the all-conference Oregon State tailback. And right now it looks like things are trending extremely favorably for Miami. The Hurricanes are back in home here on Monday. So, you know, already two sets of sort of meetings that Miami has had with Damian Martinez before he even gets to campus, you know, back end of this week. I think that official visit officially kicks off on Friday. So I think all signs are pointing towards the Hurricanes kind of getting their guy at running back and potentially adding a big-time talent. Still, of course, these transfer situations are always very fluid, as we know, David. But right now, you know, it seems like it's going to be tough to beat the Hurricanes. So I think Miami's doing a really, really good job in that one.
Yeah, this would be a big-time addition. Again, we're talking about the running back market, what's available in the portal. According to 24/7 Sports in their portal rankings right now, he is the second-best running back available this offseason in the portal. So the number one running back was Quinshon Judkins, the former Ole Miss back that transferred to Ohio State. They have Damian Martinez slotted behind him. And then they have Trevor Etienne, the former Florida running back that transferred to Georgia, ranked number three. They do have the same transfer portal grade on Martinez and Etienne. So that's kind of the caliber of running back that Miami could potentially be adding if you are unfamiliar with Damian Martinez and his game. So what type of back would Miami be getting? So last year, he did run for at least 100 yards in six games against Pac-12 competition. He averaged 93 yards and nearly one touchdown per game. According to Pro Football Focus, he averages 3.82 yards per carry. Yards per carry after contact, and totaled 740 yards after contact as a runner. As a point of reference, that's a similar average and rate to what Mark Fletcher did last year as a true freshman. Mark Fletcher averaged 3.81 yards per carry after contact. So he's a guy that runs behind his pad level at 230 pounds. He can also force some missed tackles at a pretty decent rate for how big he is. According to PFF, he generated 57 missed tackles on the year. That was the 14th most missed tackles forced by a Power 5 running back last season. Miami's not had a running back that has generated at least 40 missed tackles in a season since Joe Yearby in 2015. So Martinez, again, 57 missed tackles forced. That's an impressive number relative to his size. He also, you know, look, I think it's fair to say he's not like an elite speed type of guy, but he does show the ability to generate some explosive runs, which, you know, we define as runs of at least 15 yards. He generated 17 of those type of runs in 2023. Last year, Henry Parrish, for example, had 10 carries that went for at least 15 yards. Miami hasn't featured a back that has generated at least 17 runs of 15 yards since Mark Walton in 2016. I believe he had 21 of those type of runs. So I think it's fair to say, Gabby, that if Miami was able to seal the deal with Martinez, he would be their best running back since Mark Walton in 2016. He also does a nice job protecting the football. He fumbled it just once in 2023 on 195 attempts. Only seven running backs at the Power 5 level carried the ball at least 190 times and fumbled it one time or fewer. So he's a guy to me that moves the chains in a lot of different ways. He's also a guy that would complement Cam Ward quite nicely with the passing game and running game balance. We've talked about this offseason how Miami wasn't very efficient in the red zone with scoring touchdowns. Adding a running back like Damian Martinez changes that dramatically for me. I think this would be a big time addition. I think it would give Miami the best quarterback running back duo in the ACC and one of the better ones in the country. How much do you think this addition could potentially elevate the offense, Gabby?
I mean, I think it would be massive, right? I think we all know what Cam Ward can do as a passer. I think when you look at what Miami maybe struggles or kind of lacks right now, I think you kind of look at that backfield. And again, if you're a defensive coordinator, kind of drawing it up, like how are you going to defend Miami? I think right now, you know, you're not. And Mark Fletcher, obviously, just the thought that he could potentially that he is injured and who knows again what that time like looks coming back. I mean, I think that's where there's kind of a clear weakness on the roster, right? And I think adding a guy like Damian Martinez turns that weakness into a strength, like not only solidifies the room, I think it turns that running game, that running back room into a strength. And, you know, I think it would be massive. I mean, you mentioned all the numbers, all the things that Damian Martinez does so well. I think it just makes Miami more difficult to defend. I think it opens things up for Cam Ward because of how much more teams are going to have to respect the run. I just think it makes the offense more multiple, more balanced. I think it just gives, you know, Shannon Dawson another major chess piece to kind of do what they want to do offensively. Again, I think there's already a lot of versatility. I think there's already a lot of pieces in place that you can have some fun with. But I think adding a true running back one, and I think we've been talking about that for a while, right? Like, who's Miami's true running back one? I think with Damian Martinez, I think you have a true, you know, tote back, a feature back who can go be your guy. And, you know, Mark Fletcher still being a young guy coming off an injury, you know, if he is healthy, which I think it's safe to say, you know, or, you know, maybe he will be healthy or healthy enough at some point, even with the rest of the room. I think that backfield is just, you know, I think it's strong now, especially, you know, or potentially strong with a guy like Damian Martinez jumping on board. So I think that this would be a massive win for Miami. It would be a mission accomplished as far as going out and getting the top available running back in the transfer portal in a guy like Damian Martinez. So still time left on the clock. You know, Miami still has to cross the finish line here. And of course, again, these transfer recruitments, you never really know. But I think if Miami's able to kind of close it out, they're adding a big time talent. Again, we're talking about an all conference running back, you know, in the Pac-12, who had other good running backs. I mean, Oregon had solid running backs. Washington had a, you know, stud running back and Dylan Johnson last year. Like Damian Martinez, you know, is a legitimate running back. And I think that this makes Miami's offense, you know, potentially very, very explosive, just even more so with a guy like Damian Martinez in the backfield.
When injury strikes, it doesn't just impact you physically. It can disrupt every aspect of your life. At the Mussorino Law Group, we understand that just like in football, overcoming adversity requires the right team by your side. That's why we're not just a law firm. We're your partner in navigating crises, committed to seeking justice for you. Whether facing the aftermath of a car accident, medical negligence, or battling against the side effects of medications like Ozempic, or seeking answers in cancer cases linked to water contamination, Roundup, or hair relaxer products, we're the right team that's going to have your back. Navigating your journey to recovery can be as daunting as a tough game day, especially when up against powerful insurance companies. We're here to shoulder your burden, transforming it into a strategic pursuit for justice. As the official law firm sponsor of the Through the Smoke podcast, the Mussorino Law Group will share the same commitment to excellence and teamwork that you cherish. If life's unexpected turns have left you injured and seeking answers, enlist the Mussorino Law Group. Let us be your guide and advocate in this crucial time, offering a game plan for the justice and compensation you deserve. Call the Mussorino Law Group today at 561-960-9870 and hire their team. With the Mussorino Law Group PLLC by your side, you're not just getting legal representation, you're gaining a partner in your fight for justice, backed by the same spirit of unity and determination that drives the Miami Hurricanes. Remember, in the game of life and law, the right team makes all the difference. Call again today at 561-960-9870.
The holiday season is upon us, and Midway Sports is here to take care of all of your sporting good needs. Check out their wide range of selections for all your golf, pickleball, football, basketball, and baseball needs, with a variety of top-of-the-line necessities and accessories to help you look and perform your best on the field of play. All of that located just a mile south of the University of Miami campus. Midway Sports is also there for all of your team uniform needs, whether that be your kids' Little League team or your adult softball team. Tell them Gabby Rudia with Through the Smoke sent you, and they will take 30% off the price of the cost of your uniform order.
Miami also wants to raise the depth and talent at wide receiver. After seeing Cam Ward do his thing in the spring, kind of this idea of going all in. And again, I think Miami does feel good about their top three receivers now, which is Isaiah Horton, Xavier Restrepo, and Jacoby George. But I do think there's something to be said for, in this day and age in college football, when teams rotate plenty of receivers, it's good to feel strongly about your top four receivers. And while I do think there's some intriguing young talent that's bubbling up to the surface, I think it does make sense this year to go all in with Cam Ward at quarterback for one season and add a veteran receiver that has proven production. And that's where a guy like Houston's Sam Brown is intriguing for a program like Miami. Sam Brown last year at Houston, 62 receptions for 815 yards and 3 touchdowns. He goes 6 feet two and 195 pounds. He originally signed with West Virginia. Coming out of high school, was a 4-star prospect, according to 24/7 Sports, out of the state of Georgia. Gabby, tell us more about Sam Brown, why this addition could make sense for Miami as well, potentially.
Yeah, Sam Brown is, again, we're talking about just wanting to surround Cam Ward with as much as possible to go make a run here in 2024. Outside of just being, you know, productive, you talk about the 815 yards last year. He played in a Shannon Dawson offense in that, during that 2022 season, the final season that Dawson was coordinating that Houston offense. And, after taking him as a transfer from West Virginia, where, you know, he didn't have a ton of production, and, Dawson, you know, and that Houston staff brought him in, and he, I think, had a, obviously, you know, kind of breakthrough, breakout kind of year. I think he caught for over four, I think it was 470 yards around that mark. And, again, I think he's a guy that's just familiar with the offense, familiar with the verbiage that Miami uses. Again, I think that's important, especially as a transfer, not having to learn a whole new offense, being able to walk into a situation where you kind of know what the deal is. I think another thing that's just of note, like Sam Brown and Cam Ward were throwing together in Houston, I guess over the weekends or something like that, a photo on Instagram that I guess came up on Twitter of Cam Ward and Sam Brown kind of posing together after a throwing session. In Cam Ward's hometown. So, I mean, I think a little connection kind of brewing there. Also, some video of Cam Ward talking about how he wants to get Sam Brown on board or at Miami. So, again, a way that it's been described to me is Cam Ward kind of gets what he wants. And if Cam Ward wants Sam Brown, I think Miami's going to try their best to make that happen. Of course, there's a natural connection. And then look, it's just as far as on-field production, Miami already has, like you mentioned, David, two highly productive receivers returning, and Jacoby George, who went for over 800 yards, and Xavier Streppo, who, of course, is returning as the ACC's leading wide receiver. You know, adding another potential, you know, weapon like that in Sam Brown, again, just injects more juice into that vertical passing game. And Sam Brown's a bigger guy, so kind of checks those boxes. 6'2", 195 pounds, I believe, is what he's listed at. So he kind of fits those outside wide receiver characteristics. It hasn't been the deepest wide receiver market. It hasn't been the most active as far as big names, big bodies that have kind of emerged. And I think of the names that are available right now, I think Sam Brown is the one that Miami covets most. So I think that's definitely a name to keep track of. You know, my understanding is that if Miami hasn't already, which I believe they have, but I think, you know, there were some plans for Shannon Dawson to be out in the Houston area meeting with Sam Brown now that they can take kind of, you know, those one per week in-home visits. I think, you know, it's a priority for Shannon Dawson to go out there and, you know, reconnect with Sam Brown and, you know, pitch him the idea of, you know, reconnecting and getting things rolling in Coral Gables with a strong quarterback situation. So I think there's a lot of dots that are connecting as far as Miami and Sam Brown. Of course, still a long way to go. I don't think he's taken any visits yet, but I think Miami's is one of those schools that is in prime contention to potentially be a landing spot for Brown. So he's definitely a name to kind of keep in mind as Miami continues through this transfer process.
He is currently ranked as the 10th best receiver in the portal this offseason. Again, that includes some of the guys in the winter window. So like Isaiah Bond, who went from Alabama to Texas, 5-star portal ranking. Evan Stewart from A&M to Oregon, 5-star portal ranking. Those guys were also close to, if not 5-star high school recruits. And Sam Brown is 10th. He is a 4-star transfer ranking with a 92 grade. So clearly a guy that, you know, people feel like is talented. And, you know, Gabby, just my sense on him as a player, just the profile in terms of statistics and watching highlights a little bit of him. To me, he's kind of like an older veteran version maybe of Isaiah Horton, because he can do some things like he can go deep. He can also make some plays in the intermediate passing game. And he also has enough acceleration to be dangerous in the quick game. He came down with 7 of 14 contested catch opportunities last year. He averaged 6.7 yards after catch on all his attempts. He also averaged 10 yards after catch per reception on attempts behind the line of scrimmage that were caught. Just seems like a good all-around contributor. To me, again, he'd be another weapon in terms of depth, proven depth. And frankly, Gabby, if you think about it, I should look into this, I guess. But I do, let's say hypothetically, Miami's able to add Sam Brown. How many Power 4 programs now, how many Power 4 programs will be featuring three receivers that generated at least 800 receiving yards last season? Miami might be the only one. If they're not, they're probably one of 3, 4, 5 programs that can claim that. So I think this is the type of move that you're talking about, going all in and leveling up. What type of receiver, though, do you view him as?
Yeah, and I definitely view him as a guy who, again, and we're talking about that Isaiah Horton role, a guy on the outside who can kind of help. You know, I think he played some on the slot, David. You might know that number better than me.
A little bit.
He played a little bit on the slot. So again, I think he's a guy that they can move around. You can do a couple different things with. He's primarily an outside guy, but yeah, like, you know, I think he's someone that can kind of be a chunk play receiver. I think against Texas, you know, college football playoff contender, who, you know, Houston played last year, he caught 4 passes for 80 yards. I mean, that's 20 yards per catch against, you know, on a good secondary. You know, I think he had 3 100-yard games. So he's a guy that can give you that. He can be that big play, big yardage type of guy. So I think that Sam Brown just kind of makes you, I think he just gives you, again, another weapon that you can couple, do a couple different things with. I mean, Miami does a lot of what you're talking about, David, the quick game stuff with Isaiah Horton. I think Sam Brown can do those types of things. I think Sam Brown can kind of stretch the field for you some and be that deep play type of guy. I just think he gives you another, again, just versatile wide receiver who can kind of do, a bunch of different things to kind of just make you more dangerous, especially the way that he would potentially complement some of the others, be maybe relief or potentially Isaiah Horton could be relief to him. Again, I think it just makes Miami just able to kind of throw bodies in and rotate guys in, keep those fresh legs, and just always have someone who could be productive on the field. I think it just makes Miami deeper. I think it just makes that Miami pass attack just even better. Again, talk about the potential of having three guys with over 800 yards. You could probably put all three of those guys on the field at the same time. You could have three receivers who, with that insane production on the field at the same time with Xavier Strip on the slot, Jacoby George and Sam Brown potentially on the outside. I mean, that's a lot of juice. And again, you talk about the possibility that it's also Cam Ward at quarterback and then a potential Damian Martinez at running back. I mean, that's kind of how you draw it up, right? I mean, that's kind of how you want it to look like. So I think Sam Brown would, again, is he, NFL wide receiver, surefire? I'm not sure, but I think he's a productive college wide receiver who could help Miami, win some games and make some plays.
Another guy on the offensive side to know that jumped in the portal here in this first week of it being open is an offensive lineman that Miami recruited as a high school prospect last year and signed with USC, and that is center prospect Jason Zandamela. And that name sounds familiar. It's because this time last year, he was one of their top targets at center. Just never really came together in terms of, I think, his side of things being interested maybe and obviously going to USC, going out west. But after enrolling early this winter, he has decided to enter the portal and presumably wants to get back closer to home. He again went to Clearwater International Academy. Do I have that right, Gabby? And so yeah, the Florida schools are kind of circling the wagons there for Jason, and he represents maybe a big time center that Miami could get in the program as a starting center of the future. Again, they added Zach Carpenter out of Indiana in the winter window. He looks like he will be the starting center this season, and then he will have no more eligibility, and so it'll be next man up. And it would be nice to have that transition to a guy like Jason Zandamela, who is very talented and Miami really liked last year. So he is the highest rated portal guy in terms of interior offensive lineman this offseason, according to 24/7 Sports. And again, was a top 50 recruit in the country last cycle. So a talented guy. We all know how this program emphasizes offensive line. And I think in particular, they really care about that center position because of the leadership that that position demands. And so Jason Zandamela is definitely a name to know.
Yeah, Miami really likes Jason Zandamela. They again, for all the reasons you said, David, I mean, a potential center of the future. Again, I feel like my picture on just what that recruitment looks like right now is probably a little bit more blurry. A lot of people think that, seem to feel like UCF, USF are potential options. I think it's just a matter of, does Jason Zandamela want to play right away, or is he going to go somewhere where he might have to sit a year? And again, and I think that's where Miami kind of comes in. That's why I heard early on that Florida and Miami and UCF were maybe the more primary options. I think others have kind of emerged right now. I still feel like Miami is very much involved there. I just think that there's, I think the field or who's kind of involved, I've maybe broadened a little bit more. So I still think Miami could potentially get an official visit. I don't think that that's set up yet. I'm not sure if that's kind of been lined up where that's like certainly happening. So I think that that's still kind of a work in progress as Zandamela sorts through sort of some of his options. So I'm still watching Miami here. I still think Miami's a school that's absolutely involved and under consideration.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
All right, so those are four the better offensive transfer portal options at their position groups that Miami is pursuing on some level. So that is impressive on that side of the ball. On defense, you know, I think it's fair to say, Gabby, that depth is a key point of emphasis on that side of the ball. So let's start up front, and let's talk about Michigan State defensive tackle Simeon Barrow, who is a veteran there, defensive tackle for the Spartans, played 469 defensive snaps last year. He has good size at 6'3 and right around 300 pounds. Finished last year with 36 tackles, 5.5 tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks. Also had 22 quarterback pressures. So there is some pass rushing punch there. I will note he did miss 11 tackles last year, which is quite a bit for that position. But I do think he's an athletic, big body type that could provide valuable snaps on the interior at Miami. Now, before you go, Gabby, I think it's worth mentioning defensive tackle might be the most competitive position in the portal here during the spring window because everyone could use defensive tackle depth. So these type of recruitments, again, are not done in a vacuum. There's a lot of competition, and Simeon Barrow is already a big-time target of a premier SEC program, which you can get into here, Gabby. But what do we need to know about Mr. Barrow?
Yeah, I think that's very important to mention, David, that, you know, of course, I think everyone in the country is looking at a lot of these premium positions, right? Defensive tackle, obviously a premium position, and you know, LSU is a school that Simeon Barrow, I believe, just visited over the weekend. I think that there's definitely others who are in the mix, but I do think Miami sort of has a seat at the table. And, you know, I say that cautiously, understanding that after these, you know, typically, you know, who gets some of these early transfer official visits, those guys tend to kind of make decisions quickly and kind of move on. So I'm not sure what Simeon Barrow's process is like, but I think, you know, internally, there is a sense that Miami truly has an opportunity to, you know, get or, you know, again, compete for a guy like Simeon Barrow. If that happens, I don't think that's going to happen until potentially this weekend. Miami's not planning to have any early week official visits as far as transfers, at least not as of like, you know, the weekend. Miami wasn't planning on having any early week transfer visits. So I think if something does happen, I think that this coming weekend is a probability. I kind of heard that there's a chance that Barrow's kind of on the list of guys that they're expecting to potentially host this weekend. We'll see what that looks like. But again, I think, you know, the Hurricanes are very, very actively trying to get Simeon Barrow on board. So he's definitely a name that I would keep in mind. And again, this is a very, very intense, you know, position group. And there's not a lot of defensive tackle depth in the portal. So a couple of these names that they're on, you know, they're kind of all in on. And Semien Barrow, to me, is one of those names that they're absolutely all in on. So, you know, just want to keep track. And again, the longer he kind of goes without a decision made, I think that that's a positive for Miami. So just got to kind of see what his next move is going to be and if he's going to let this his recruitment kind of play out for a bit longer.
You talked about LSU and Barrow. It's fair to say LSU in general is just trying to throw numbers at defensive tackle in the spring portal window, correct?
Yeah, it seems like they are. I think that they're involved with a couple other guys at the defensive tackle position. I think CJ West is a name that they kind of offer to the Kent State transfer
Kent State.
Defensive tackle. So I think LSU's in the mixer. I think CJ West is going to go see. I don't think Miami's in that moment as much. You know, Alan True, who covers the Midwest for us at 24/7 Sports, reported that CJ West is going to be at Wisconsin this weekend. Mm-hmm. And then I think he's going to go see a couple other schools. I think it was Michigan, Indiana, Rutgers, Florida State, and LSU are some schools in there as well. So I don't think Miami's in the CJ West sweepstakes. So it, to me, just from my perspective, it seems like the clear, you know, defensive tackle that they're targeting is Semien Barrow.
And I wouldn't be surprised too if other guys enter the portal this week if Definitely. Miami is interested in them as well. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Miami takes two defensive tackles, I guess, if they make sense. All right, let's stay on defense and let's talk about linebacker. We've talked about this idea pretty much all offseason, how Miami would like to add maybe more of a proven commodity from a depth perspective at linebacker. Yes, Miami likes their starters in Kiko and Wesley. Wesley took a nice step this spring, so that was good to see. And then they also like the young talent that they've brought in the last two recruiting cycles. You know, guys like Popo Aguirre and Bobby Pruitt, et cetera, et cetera. But I do think it's fair to say it'd be nice to have a guy kind of in the middle of those two groupings that can kind of bridge the gap. Because again, linebacker is a physical position. You never know what type of depth you're going to need to dip into as you navigate a season. Also, last year, Lance Guidry did a nice job installing some 3-3-5 looks at times, which meant more snaps for the linebackers at times. Now, that's not their base defense, but being able to go to those types of looks, I think, is a good thing to do if the matchups make sense. And Gabby, today, a linebacker that makes sense for Miami entered the portal, and that is Louisville linebacker Jalen Alderman. Last year, Miami went to Louisville and added KJ Cloyd, who finished the year with over 40 tackles, I believe, was a valuable contributor to the defense from a depth perspective. Again, Miami's linebacker coach, Derek Nicholson, was at Louisville before Miami, so there's certainly another connection there with Jalen Alderman entering the portal. He's a guy that's from Valdosta, Georgia. He goes 6'1", 230 pounds. He played 606 defensive snaps for Louisville last year, made 14 starts, plays middle, plays some weak side, finished the season last year with 62 tackles, 7 tackles for loss, and 1.5 sacks. Gabby, to me, this would be like the perfect guy that Miami would want to go get in terms of filling a depth rotation type of role. And maybe, you know, maybe a future starter here in years to come, because Jalen Alderman does have some years of eligibility, unlike KJ Cloyd. What do you know about this situation, Jalen Alderman? Meet Jerry Ashcraft, your trusted realtor in the heart of Central Florida. Jerry, a Marine Corps veteran turned real estate expert with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Florida Realty, is here to serve you. With years of dedicated service to our country, Jerry brings the same commitment, integrity, and attention to detail to every real estate transaction. As a VA loan certified realtor, Jerry understands the unique needs of fellow veterans and their families. Whether you're a veteran looking to use your VA loan benefits or a first-time home buyer searching for your perfect place, Jerry has got you covered. When Jerry isn't helping clients find their dream homes, You'll often find him casting a line and enjoying Florida's beautiful waterways. With every successful transaction, Jerry pays it forward by either making a donation to the Miami Hurricanes Athletic Department or to a charity of your choice, because he believes in making a difference both in real estate and in the community. When it comes to real estate in Central Florida, trust Jerry to guide you home. Let's turn your real estate dreams into reality. Contact Jerry today and get started. Call him at 407-358-4743 or email him at jerryashcraft@bhhsfloridarealty.net. I don't have to tell Through the Smoke listeners that the Miami Hurricanes football fan base and community is the best in the country. When we opened up sponsorship opportunities here on the podcast, we were flooded with small business owners that wanted to support what we do here on Through the Smoke, but one person particularly stood out. Joe Hernandez reached out and wanted to lock in a sponsorship opportunity, but he didn't want to promote a business. He simply wanted to direct listeners to go support the Canes Connection. Canes Connection is the official name, image, and likeness partner of Miami Hurricanes Athletics. Canes Connection relies on the strength of the Canes family to connect fans, alumni, and corporate sponsors with Hurricanes athletes seeking opportunities to further their professional and personal growth. Go to canesconnection.com today and become a member for as little as $25 a month, or make a one-time contribution. Make a direct impact on the lives of Miami Hurricanes athletes by giving to Canes Connection today.
Yeah, again, think about the school that he's coming from. You know, Louisville, of course, that's where Miami linebackers coach Derek Nicholson coached before a brief stop at Cincinnati during the coaching transition when Scott Satterfield left. I think he took the Cincinnati job after Luke Fickell took Wisconsin. And so Derek Nicholson follows Satterfield to Cincinnati. So it seems like Miami took Derek Nicholson from Cincy, but really he was a Louisville linebacker coach. And Derek Nicholson is who recruited Jalen Alderman to Louisville. You know, Jalen Alderman's true freshman season, I believe he played in 13 games or something like that. And, you know, that was under Derek Nicholson. So there's a clear connection there, which is, again, I think something that you look at during these transfer portal situations, like, you know, where are we at there? So, I mean, I think there's a clear relationship, there's a clear connection. And then you just talk about the on-field, you know, need. I mean, Jalen Alderman started 14 games for a team that played titles. Jalen Alderman can play high-level football. And again, you feel good about 1 and 2 and Kiko Mauinoa and Wesley Bissaint. I think Jalen Alderman is a better version, basically, of what they got last year in KJ Cloyd. KJ Cloyd being a, you know, a final year grad transfer guy. You know, Alderman is a guy who could legitimately push one of those two guys for a starting spot. Like, does he win a starting job? I'm not sure, but he understands what Derek Nicholson's looking for. He understands what it's like to kind of work under him. He's the assistant defensive coordinator now, so I think you would make an assumption that he's just kind of familiar about what linebacker, what the linebacker is expected to do in this defense. And then he's just played a lot of high-level football. So, again, I think he's someone that pushes, that could potentially come in and push the room, get on the field plenty. We talk about how much they rotated linebackers last year, right? I think even in, like, a base front, like when Miami kind of goes 4-3, like Jalen Alderman could potentially be your third linebacker. You can throw him on the field. He's a guy that could play. He could play the middle linebacker. He could play Mike. He could play Will. He could probably play some Sam for you. You know, I think he could do a lot of different things like that. So to me, targeting Jalen Alderman is a no-brainer. I think it's an easy decision. I expect Miami to be involved here. It's not only the connections that we're trying to draw up. Like, I do expect that Miami is interested in adding a Jalen Alderman. We'll see what that looks like. But I think Jalen Alderman is certainly a name that Miami fans are going to want to become familiar with and know as this transfer portal cycle continues.
We mentioned too how Miami would like to improve the depth in the secondary. Understanding, look, where Miami's at right now at corner, it's probably going to be hard to get like a guy that is a starter, but not like an All-American type who's an obvious plug-and-play starter at Miami. But maybe Miami can go get some depth pieces at corner to shore up that room, because You know, after the top three, there is some inexperience, I think it's fair to say. And then at safety, if we're talking about that position, quite frankly, just right now in the portal, there doesn't seem to be much there that is intriguing to Miami. So we'll see if some names enter there at the safety position. But let's go back to corner, because there is an intriguing name that entered there because of his connection to Lance Guidry and Chevis Jackson, who are now on Miami's defensive staff. Tell us about that situation, Gabby.
Yeah, Marshall cornerback Deonte Hill is definitely a name to know. Going to officially visit this coming weekend. He's already made stops at Indiana and Cincinnati. I think he's got West Virginia coming up this week. And then he'll spend the weekend in Miami and then plans to go see Missouri right after seeing Miami. But yeah, again, is Deonte Hill potential starting cornerback for Miami? I don't think so. I think, again, Miami feels good about 1 and 2 and Daryl Porter, Damari Brown. But can Deonte Hill potentially be cornerback 3 or 4? Like, I think he could be a strong rotational piece. I think he solidifies or just adds to the depth in that cornerback room, which we know, which we felt, David, you know, especially watching the team in the spring. It seems like they need to just inject more into that cornerback rotation. I think Deonte Hill would be just that. And you talk about the connection too, right? Again, these connections matter. And the last 2 years, Deonte Hill has been coached by Chevis Jackson at Marshall. And in, you know, that 2022 season, that the defense that Deonte Hill was playing in was coordinated by Lance Guidry in his last year at Marshall before he made the move over to Miami, you know, last season. So a lot of connections there with Deonte Hill in Miami. You know, I think he's a guy that, you know, he didn't play a ton of actual corner in, as a true freshman, but I think he appeared in 10 or so games, working a lot in special teams. And then he was a pretty consistent starter for Marshall this past season. And, you know, I think he took his he had some, you know, lumps in coverage. I think he's still kind of developing as a pure, you know, cover guy. But I think he's he had some good, strong tackling grades on Pro Football Focus. It seems like he's kind of maybe a little bit more developed in that facet of his game, at least at the Group of Five level. So, yeah, again, I think he's someone that Chevis Jackson can continue kind of working with, understands where he needs to kind of get better and improve. Those two can kind of potentially reunite and kind of get that thing going again. And I think, you know, I think that helps Deonte Hill potentially stay on track. And I think it helps Miami shore up some of that depth. So I think it would be a potential good fit. Again, is it a huge, you know, we'll see. I mean, we'll see what Deonte Hill could potentially be, but I think it would be a solid addition for Miami if they're able to kind of get that done.
So he's a guy that is from the state of Florida, went to Gainesville High School.
Yep.
So that's interesting as well. He played 671 defensive snaps last year at Marshall. So he does have that experience at the college level. And you mentioned it. Yeah, he grades out as a really good tackler on the edge, which certainly has value. Missed only 4 tackles on the year and had a good tackling grade from Pro Football Focus. But as you mentioned, Gabby, his coverage stuff, his coverage numbers, there's room for improvement there. He allowed 34 receptions for 517 yards last year, allowed 3 touchdowns. That yardage number in particular is just too high. You know, it's 15.2 yards per reception that he allowed. That number needs to work its way down as he gets older and gets more experience at the college level. But I do think his profile makes sense as a guy that would make sense for Miami to add at the cornerback position group. Cause again, they go Daryl Porter, Damari Brown, Jadis Richard. That's a solid top three. After that, you know, you got on the roster now, Robert Stafford. So adding a guy like Deonte who's played in games, I think does make some sense. Yeah, and also too, Gabby, I think it's fair to say 2 corners could be on the table and a safety, if it made sense, could be on the table. Would you push back on that?
No, I definitely wouldn't. And there's still time for, you know, to see what else kind of emerges in the transfer portal. I'm not saying that this guy's a target, but, you know, another, you know, potentially promising corner piece just hit the transfer portal. Ed Woods, he was, you know, started games for Arizona State over the last 2 years. I think he had like a, you know, over 77 coverage grade, you know, for Sun Devils. So I'm not saying he's a target, but again, I think there's still time for this cornerback or this secondary market to kind of take shape. And as we know, David, a lot of spring games were played this past weekend. And, you know, and I think some of those conversations potentially happen on Sunday or Monday. Yeah. And then it takes a couple of days for the paperwork to get submitted. So let's see what, you know, midweek, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday kind of bring us as far as what else kind of emerges in the transfer portal. And so there's still time for more names to kind of pop up. Yeah.
Because the first week was a little quiet, right?
It was.
Which, I mean, I don't know. Is it quiet due to, you know, relative to just maybe expectations that are unfair? Or is this just what the spring portal is? I think these are fair questions to ask. We won't know until the window closes here in, what, 8 days or so? Yeah. But I think the first week was a little quiet. I do think there is hope that the second week will bring more names for those reasons you were saying, Gabby. I think, you know, looks, there was a wave of spring games that took place over the weekend here. And so, you know, that kind of opens the door for guys on those teams. Also, too, there's the reality of, you know, the guy last week, the guys at programs that, you know, played at places that already had their spring games. There's a reality of, you know, there's still some negotiating with their current collectives to see what they can get from their current programs. And if they're not happy with where those negotiations go, they can then enter the portal here in week two. So, yeah, let's see who pops in this week. I do think there's hope. I don't know if it's necessarily an expectation, but I do think there's hope that more guys will enter the portal here in the second week. But again, there, the portal isn't done in a vacuum. There are programs trying to retain players. There are agents playing their agent games as well. There are programs, you know, when guys do enter the portal, there's programs competing to land players that enter the portal. So players will have options. From a Miami perspective, Miami is poised to spend with an organized collective, but the competition is fierce. So just wanted to get that out there. And before we get out of here, Gabby, let's just touch on some of the Miami guys that have entered the portal here. By my count, let me know if I missed anyone. But the guys that have entered the portal, I'll include Nigelie Kelly, who we knew already, you know, that happened during spring football. His intentions were made. We already mentioned Henry Parrish here. We knew that after week one of spring football. And then last week, we got names entering the portal like Ja'Kari Brown, the quarterback, running back Trevante Citizen, safety/linebacker Caleb Spencer, and Logan Sagapolo. So those are the names I quickly wrote down. Gabby, did I miss anyone, or is that it?
No, that's it from what I can think of.
So those are six names. I would say expect 4 to 6 more names, maybe. And look, I don't think any of the names are well, I won't say that. Some names might be a little eyebrow raising, but I don't think it'll be anything like shocking in terms of, you know, big time players entering the portal. But I do think maybe some, you know, one, maybe two deep guys explore their options in the portal, which is just how things go. And again, all situations are different. With these guys from a Miami perspective entering the portal, I think it's important to remember a few things. College football is going to more of an NFL model in terms of NIL and valuation of players. If guys aren't producing or on a track to produce relative to their NIL deals, then that money needs to be freed up to go land players that will produce at those levels. Also, some guys just want opportunities at other places. Can't blame them for that. That's where the transfer portal is a really good thing for player movement. And yeah, I mean, look, I think it's fair to expect 4 to 6 more players entering the portal. We'll see if it officially happens. We're not looking to throw those names out there right now. We will let those guys do it, and it'll trickle out how it trickles out. But I do feel like Miami is poised to pounce and close strong in the portal, not only with these names that that we've talked about here, but also potential names that could enter over the next 8 days. Gabby, what are your portal vibes right now after 1 week?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been interesting. I did think, I guess it would be maybe a bit stronger. I don't know. Maybe that's just a feeling. Sure. And maybe it could be a lot of, like, what you mentioned, like the agent games and things like that, where maybe there was potential for it to be kind of crazy because maybe people put out feeler, you know, all the different things that go into this transfer portal stuff. But yeah, you know, I think it's been relatively light. And look, and I mentioned this to you before, David, I also think that it may be a part of it could be like, you know, I think collectives have just done kind of gotten their ducks in a row and are doing a good job in the talent retention process, you know, as far as making sure that they have, you know, things in order to kind of make sure that their best players are kind of staying on their roster. And again, I think everyone's learning about what this transfer portal is, right? I think a lot of, you know, there's been time has kind of passed. I think that maybe there's just a clear way of how to do it. And again, I think, you know, the fact that it's not the like total wild, wild, wild west that we kind of maybe thought it could be is probably because I think a lot of these collectives have done a good job of just making sure that, you know, guys are happy and taken care of. And, you know, maybe there's language that kind of benefits them to maybe not explain, who knows what it is. But I think my overall takeaway is that clearly it has not been crazy, the spring transfer portal window. I think there's obviously still room for things to get a little, you know, funky, and for things to kind of, who knows, blow up
nationally.
Maybe, yeah, nationally, you know, all that type of stuff. But yeah, I mean, I think that this transfer portal window has been, you know, kind of light. And, you know, from a Miami perspective, I think that this is kind of, you know, I think nothing has been too crazy. You know, I think on this end, as far as departures, nothing super earth shattering. Again, David, like you're alluding to, if we see a few more guys leave, like, yeah, again, maybe there'll be some that are like, oh, okay, what's going on here? But I don't think that, you know, at the end of the day, it's anything game changing or truly, you know, program shifting or anything to that nature. So the Miami's in a good spot, you know, overall. I think the net gain will be, you know, significantly stronger than the loss. So I'm excited to see what this, you know, whatever it looks like, what this portal cycle kind of brings.
We'll be on top of it again, InsideView.com, for your daily coverage of portal action. We'll see this weekend, probably be a big weekend in terms of getting guys on campus that are in the portal. So we got to get out of here on that. Again, thanks to all our sponsors. Thanks to Canes Connection. Go visit those guys at canesconnection.com. Support what they do. Get a membership today. Get 20% off that membership with the promo code 247. Appreciate everyone for listening. And until next time, take care. We'll be right back.